16 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. I'm so proud to call Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers a friend and in the diaconate family. He just celebrated, by the way, 20 years in the diaconate. What a gift. I was telling him during the break that Deacon Dom just celebrated over 12 years in the diaconate in October. So it's a very special ministry, a special community, and really appreciate the work of all of our amazing deacons and deacon couples out there in the country and around the world. And I also appreciate the honesty and the directness of Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, who's an African-American Catholic brother in the Lord and who gets to the heart of this issue of racism. Look, nobody is denying that racism still exists and that it's evil, it's sinful, and it's not acceptable ever in any way, shape, or form. But how do we respond? And what I love about this book, and by the way, Building a Civilization of Love is available from Ignatius Press, is that Deacon Harold, as he does with his talks, his writings, his presentations, cuts through the rhetoric. He gets at the heart of what's happening in our culture that is not really addressing this issue. It's more about virtual signaling and, you know, getting out there and being on social media and not really addressing the real issues and how we should respond, especially from a Catholic perspective. Deacon, great to talk to you. So let's get to the heart of this, first of all, as to why you decided to write this book, because being that this is 2023 and this book came out, you were writing this, I can imagine, in the midst of when we're seeing so much about this issue of racism in our culture.
Yes, thank you, Teresa. It's great to be with you. That's exactly right. I wrote this book during the pandemic because, well, first of all, I was home, couldn't go anywhere. I didn't need something to do. But then I was looking at what's going on in our country, the racial animosity and the hatred and the rhetoric and the polemics, and especially regarding interactions with law enforcement and black people and George Floyd and all of that. And I didn't see or hear anyone trying to figure out how do we resolve this? How do we actually break down the walls of racial division? How do we bring people together? And I wasn't hearing any of that. And so I decided, well, you know, I think the Catholic Church can take the lead in this issue. So I decided to sit down and start writing and figure out how we can actually bring people together, not just around the body of Christ, but to bring healing in an issue that's so important and sometimes difficult to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's interesting is that you say in this book, and you don't hold back, which I think is super important, coming from your perspective, because you work in law enforcement, you have a law enforcement background, also you've been in ministry for many years. You're saying that Black Lives Matter, liberation theology, critical race theory, not only have just failed, Deacon, but have failed in a spectacular way. Why do you say that?
Yeah, so the reason I actually, when I was writing, I wanted to put all of those in one chapter, because I didn't want to really give them much of a voice. But the more I studied, the more I realized, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to separate these out. And I wanted to give a truly Catholic response to these issues. And I brought them in because, well, first of all, everybody, with so much hatred and so much vitriol with regard to those issues, I said, you know, wait a minute, hold on. Let's take a step back. Let me take a look at these three areas, these three ideologies that Catholics are saying that need to be brought into discussion in order to bring racial healing and division. So I said, let me see what they say for themselves. So I, for critical race theory, I bought the books of Derek Bell and Richard Delgado and Jeanine Stefanik and Kimberly Crenshaw. And I read what they had to say. I read Father Gustavo Gutierrez with Liberation Theology. I read the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement and to see what they say for themselves, not what some other political pundit has to say, what they have to say. And so when I read what they have to say, I said, oh my goodness, this is not helpful at all in bringing racial healing. In fact, it makes things worse. And the hermeneutic or the kind of interpretive key that runs through all three of those ways of thinking, unfortunately, is a Marxist ideology,
mm-hmm.
which is based on Marxist materialism, where conflict, tension, struggle is a way forward. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not our Catholic faith.
So in other words, uprisings, protests, damaging, these things that we saw that were so prevalent, you know, especially during 2020, they thought that was a solution.
Yeah, so what they have to do is attack structures. So the cause of all the problems in their eyes is the way that the society and culture is structured. So you have to tear down the structure in order to bring change. Well, but my thesis is quite different in the book. What I say is Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross for structures, he died on a cross for people. So we have to actually deal with people, and we change people and change hearts. Well, the Holy Spirit has to, but we have to be the facilitators of that here on earth. And once we do that, then the structures will change, because we're dealing with the real issue that gets to the very heart of what's going on in our culture.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. Talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism, published recently by Ignatius Press. Now, also, the thing that's frustrating to me from a journalistic point of view is that we're not seeing some of the truth that's coming out about these organizations that you mentioned, especially with Black Lives Matter, how the whole thing is literally falling apart, and the money that was siphoned through the organization to the organizers in terms of more than one home and these big mansions and basically putting more money in their own bank accounts, as opposed to working on these areas of racism about which they said they were so concerned.
Yeah, and I don't bring up any of that money, any of that stuff in the book. Quite frankly, I wasn't really interested in that. What I was interested in is what they have to say about how we bring racial healing and division. And here, the fact is, and this is, it's sad, but the fact is, it's a Trojan horse. So on the outside, they're saying racism, 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 but inside is an ideology that's designed to destroy the nuclear family. And again, that's a strong statement, but again, when you look at what they say for themselves, not what Deacon Harold has to say about it, but they say for themselves, about what their organization is about and what they're trying to do. That's the issue. So again, I address it from a Catholic perspective, mm-hmm. looking at it through the lens of, is this a way that we can bring racial healing and division? And it's not. What's happened since Martin Luther King, who I think had an amazing way forward, he really had the right mentality and the right approach to how we actually bring racial healing. When he died, and he was killed, there was no one that stepped into the breach, into the gap, to not necessarily to take his place, but to carry that same message forward. And so in the midst of that vacuum, we have individuals and organizations, again, that are pushing, they're saying race, but pushing agendas that have nothing actually to do with race. And that's the problem. So I wanted to be a voice of reason and a voice of faith in this discussion.
So what's been the response? I know the book's recent, but you also are offering now, which I think is really helpful, presentations and seminars for parishes and dioceses to address this issue of racism, which still exists, unfortunately. We seem to still be working on something that we thought maybe that we have addressed pretty well back in the 60s and the 70s, but it's still rearing its ugly head in so many ways. But what's been the response to the book so far, Harold?
So far, I haven't seen much written critiques of the book, but in the presentations I've been given, they've been very well received. And even amongst the Black audiences, quite frankly, as I thought, like when people find out what I'm saying about, kind of those three, issues of critical race theory and liberation theology of Black Lives Matter, I would be criticized. And particularly I was expecting a lot of ad hominem attacks, that mm-hmm. is personal attacks against me and not against my argument. But I haven't seen that. So far, it's been very well received, and I've been pleased about that. But I know as more people find out about the book and start reading, I'm going to get some criticism, but that's okay.
Let's take a break and come right back and talk more about that with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers and his book, Building a Civilization of Love. Stay tuned. So our friend and amazing preacher and teacher, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, really needs no introduction, especially if you're an EWTN follower. He's just a phenomenal speaker, and he speaks on so many different topics. He was with us on the Good News Cruise in the past and did a great talk on marriage, and just is so enthusiastic and just loves the Lord and loves the church. But he also has a very interesting background in law enforcement. So when we talk about these issues that we've seen in the news the last few years, especially since COVID and all of the riots and all the problems we saw with Black Lives Matter and these other groups claiming to address the issue of racism, Deacon Harold is coming at this again from not only a Catholic perspective, but his expertise in law enforcement and the way the police were treated and some problems. Not that there aren't issues, and we know this, but he can talk about that as well. But this morning, we're really talking about how do we address this from a truly Catholic perspective. So, Deacon, what if you could do this for our listeners, because there's so much. The Catholic Church gives us answers to everything. I mean, if we pick up the Catechism, we look back in terms of the references and you know, just the outline of the Catechism, every single issue that we are facing in the world in our lives, the Church has an answer to, because it's the universal Church and all the teachings come from God. But even with this very crucial issue of racism, where do you think we should start in terms of understanding the Catholic response and the Catholic perspective, in terms of documents, maybe particular popes or particular Church leaders?
Yeah, so a couple of things. So first of all, I really believe with all my heart that the Catholic Church can take the lead in this issue. So often we come from behind when it comes to difficult issues like marriage or gender and things like that, and then laws get passed and rulings get made, and then we get all upset and we issue a statement. Well, it's too late. I mean, with this issue, I think the Catholic Church can be in the forefront, and then people will take a look and say, hey, look what the Catholic Church is doing. Let's follow their lead. You know, for once, it'd be nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think where we have to start is basically page one of the Bible. Genesis 1, 27 says that we're made in God's image and likeness. You know, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so we need to start seeing people the way God sees them, to look at each other through God's eyes. And so the way I say that is, like, for example, people will say, well, you're a black Catholic. And I say, well, no, I'm a Catholic who's black.
Mm.
I said, well, why do you say that? Are you denying your black identity? I said, no, look, when I die and stand before the Lord, he's not going to ask me how black I am. He's going to say, did you pick up your cross and follow me? I gave you three talents. I gave you fatherhood. I gave you being a husband. I gave you being a deacon. Where's my 30, 50, 100-fold return on the investment I made in you? So our identity is not in my race, my color, my creed, my sexuality, and it's being a loyal son of the living God, steeped in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a divine identity. That's who I am. And when you start to see people that way, now you're able to appreciate all the incredible cultural gifts and language and food and everything else that God has blessed that person with, to be able to express who they are in him and in his love. And that's the first brick that needs to be removed from the wall of racial division. And then that's why I do in the last part of the book. I start there, and then I outline really some simple things. It's not hard. We just have to have the desire to do it. Things like potlucks and appreciating the gift of cultural diversity by putting images of saints of color in the church, so that the community is more aware the church is not just this, the people I see every Sunday. The church is much bigger than that. And we know that, Teresa, from traveling mm-hmm. internationally.
Right.
You know, when you experience the church in another culture, it just opens your heart
yep.
more deeply to how God is able to express his love and his faith amongst people of different races and cultures.
That's one of my favorite things about leading pilgrimages and traveling abroad, because you have masses in all these different basilicas and cathedrals and these pilgrimage groups from all over the world. And again, as you said, from everywhere, and just you see the beauty and the diversity of the universal church.
Oh, absolutely. And imagine, for example, you go to a church that doesn't have much cultural diversity, and your child walks in, and they see a picture of Josephine Bakita.
Mm.
They've never seen a black saint before. The only thing they've seen with black people is what they see on TV or on the news or jokes from their friends or what they see on social media. And now this person comes in and says, wait, who is that? And her father says, well, that's Josephine Bakita. Who is she? And the dad begins to explain a little bit about her life, that she was a slave and she became a nun and she was abused and all this stuff. And now the person begins to think, oh my goodness, you know, this is what a saint looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now it's starting to break down those stereotypes that have been, that learned behavior and replacing it with seeing people of color as saints in the church, as contributors to the life of Christ, to that brings the love of Jesus Christ and makes it alive in the world and in people's hearts. You know, it's a very different way of approaching the faith.
So in your presentations, based on the work and the research you did for the book, Deacon, do you bring these practicalities in? Because I think, you know, we can see all the beauty in Scripture and the documents and whatnot, but having a practical application, as you just described, is super important to make it real for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Because on the first part of the book, I make clear distinctions, which we fail to make in our culture, between prejudice and racism, between institutional racism, people and institutions who are racist. I talk about slavery, and the church, because people criticize it. Well, St. Paul endorsed slavery. Wait a minute. There's five types of slavery in the Bible. Which one is St. Paul talking about? It could not be chattel slavery, because the Lord said, you know, you will not, very clear in Leviticus, you will not enslave people because you were once enslaved in the land of Egypt, that kind of thing. So I go through the teachings of the popes, pope after pope after pope, strongly condemning slavery. And then in the last part of the book, I said, okay, let's put some meat on the bone here. So I talk about very practical things we can do at the parish level in order to bring racial healing with our universal church. Because you start with the family.
Mm-hmm.
The family, St. John Paul II said it, the domestic church, the church of the home, because that's where young people learn to fall in love with Jesus. Well, the parish is also our family, right? We talk about the parish family. And that's a place, I guess, some very practical, real things we can do, like the potlucks or intermixing of choirs in the church, multicultural images, as I mentioned, of saints in the church, promoting conversation and dialogue. We do some amazing documents written by U.S. bishops on issues of race. You know, there's just so many very simple things that we can do that will make a meaningful difference in this discussion and really start to break down hatred and replace it with love.
Amen. And I love what you said at the beginning of the interview, Deacon, because it starts with a change of heart. It's just like with the pro-life movement. And again, I believe in changing as many laws as possible, and we overturned Roe v. Wade. Thanks be to God. We know that over 30,000 babies have been saved because of that. But at the same time, the most important thing is that we have to change the hearts of people, because if the hearts don't change, then depending on whom we get in office or at the Supreme Court, we go back, God forbid, to where we were. Thank you so much. And also, real practical, pick up the book. I mean, it's super helpful, very practical. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, coming at this from many perspectives, as a deacon, as a husband, as a father, as an African-American brother in the Lord, and as a former police officer. So he knows a lot about this issue and what we've been facing in the last few years. Building a Civilization of Love, a Catholic Response to Racism. Deacon, if I don't talk to you before Christmas, God bless you and your family. Thank you for all that you do. Really, you're a gift.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa. You're a blessing in my life, you and Deacon Dom. Thank you for having me on today.
All right. Well, God bless you. Stay safe, and don't travel too much. Make sure you take some rest over the holidays. You should go to his website and see his speaking schedule. It's crazy. But we're glad you're out there. Just make sure you take good care of yourself. Pick up the book, folks. It's terrific. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, Building a Civilization of Love, a timely book. We need this right now. Thanks be to God. We'll be right back.